Welcome to Heralding the Truth, radio ministry of Russell Road Church in Sydney, Ohio. Here at Russell Road, our vision is to build a people who are establishing God's Word, advancing His kingdom, a body of believers endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We appreciate you joining us for this dynamic and life-changing Word. Here now is today's message.
We've been talking about living out of the kingdom. Today we're righteousness, peace, and joy. We're going to talk about the joy, rejoicing in the joy that's in this kingdom. All right. Well, we are in the Advent season, and we are in the first Advent was Jesus. The Advent means coming. It's a Latin word, means coming. So Jesus came, his birth, and he came, and he did the will of God and for 33 years, and disciples, and went to the cross, and now we're waiting on the second coming, the second Advent. So God gave us the plan by the first coming and his word. So now we're to be living in a way in anticipation of the second coming. But we're gonna have, what we do is we celebrate this first coming with people who have testimonies in the church every year, and we light a candle in honor of Advent. So we got Brian and Lori Hansen coming up here and their family, and we just appreciate them. So they're going to come up and do the Advent candle and testify.
All right, so this is my part of my family. I made a joke last service. I'm not going to say it again. I got 5 girls, not 12, because I'll get yelled at later for that. But bottom line is, this is Lori Hansen, my wife. This is our youngest, Addison Hansen, and they're going to read the scripture. Ready?
Good morning. Addison and I will be reading from Isaiah 35, 1 through 10. The wilderness and the dry land shall be glad. The desert shall rejoice and blossom like the crocus. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it, the majesty of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord, the majesty of our God. Strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who have an anxious heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, with the recompense of God. He will come and save you.
Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap like a deer and the tongue of the mute sing for joy. For waters break forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. The burning sand shall become a pool and the thirsty ground springs of water. In the haunt of the jackals where they lie down, the grass shall become reeds and rushes, and a highway shall be there, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it. It shall belong to those who walk on the way. Even if they are fools, they shall not go astray. No lion shall be there, nor shall any ravenous beast come upon it. They shall not be found there, but redeemed shall walk there, and the ransom of the Lord shall return, and come to Zion with singing. Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away.
Now she's going to go light the candle. Oh, wow. So anyway, the bottom line is this. I've been given this opportunity to talk about what we're going through lately, which is kind of a lot. It's an emotional roller coaster, to be blunt. And I'm a very blunt person. I mean, I'm from Chicago, so I see people shaking their head when I say that, Carlos. And so, yeah, my language is a little bit different probably than a lot of people's, but I'll try to, because I know she's going to yell at me if I go into my, she yells sometimes. Anyway, there's such power in prayer, and this is a large group, and just me getting this opportunity while I'm going through something, it just means a lot to me, because I'll be honest, I'll need all the prayer I can get right now. Let me start real quick going backwards. So I had an older brother who passed away from a brain tumor. Had a really hard life, to be blunt. And, you know, he had the hiccups for 2.5 straight years because of this brain tumor. It was devastating. Went from walking to wheelchair to bedridden, you know. And I had wonderful parents that helped take care of him. And then I helped some myself. But he was such a testimony to Christ. I can't even tell you enough. Like, even to his last days on earth. And the reason I bring that up, because it kind of brings me to... And I don't usually use notes, but I got a lot to say, so. But then Ricky Paulus Jr. in our church, who had somewhat of the same thing, different area of the brain. I won't go into detail on all the medical stuff, but and I was fortunate to take him to the hospital many, many times when he was going through, you know, radiation and whatnot. And, you know, he's meant a lot to me, and we talked about what he was going through, and he would get my opinion on certain things related to his issues. And trust me, I would give them, you know. I mean, I'm somewhat opinionated, right? See? But at the same time, he stayed true to Christ also. So think about that. I got a person in my family. I got parents who are Christians. I got my brother who stayed true to Christ up until his death. And then I have Ricky Paulus Jr., who is a great example to me. So ironically, next thing you know, I wake up October 4th. About 2 months ago, with this huge mass on my neck. It was literally like this big. Now it's shrunk, obviously, because they took a lot of the fluid out of it. But went to urgent care. I'm going to make this fast. Went to urgent care because she told me to. I thought it was strep throat. I really did. I was like, what's the big deal? But and they didn't touch me there. They sent me to the ER, to the hospital. And they said it was either a cyst or it was cancer. Okay. So then it was too close to my throat in here. So they sent me in the middle of the night to Miami Valley because they thought I could choke or something. I don't know, honestly. But I went there for 3 days and, you know, I waited. I got a test done. Long story short, they told me it wasn't cancer. Then the very next day they told me it was. So that was kind of a roller coaster ride. In the process of all that, they did a PET scan from my head to my waist, and they said that there's a 90% chance I got lung cancer too. So that's honestly, now obviously God's in control, but in the moment I'm thinking, man, I just don't want two cancers. I just want one at least. You know what I mean? I mean, let's come on, God, what's up? Don't give me six different cancers here. So to be honest with you, well, first let me say cancer can bring families closer together or tear them apart. Anything like this, and I truly believe in my heart it's brought my family closer together. And I'll go into a little detail in a minute, but 6 months prior to the cancer, I kind of said, oh, wait, I think I need a better relationship with God, and it's really grown, okay? This was about 6 months ago. And you feel that peace that you don't feel normally, you know what I mean? It's like a deeper peace than you ever have. And so after all this, I'm going to fast forward. I praise the Lord tremendously for not having lung cancer, right? And I praise the Lord tremendously because I know people have it a million times worse than I do. And that's what I try to think of. I mean, I'm not a Vietnam vet. I'm not a soldier who lost a leg. I'm not someone who's going through excruciating pain in this moment. So you have to praise God in the storm, period. There's no question about it. Although, let me get to this. So in that night at Miami Valley, I promise you this, I let Satan get a hold of my thoughts. I really did. And he got inside my head for like a 24-hour period. And I was like really going in a downward spiral. You know, I've always said if I had to face death, I'll face it head on. Because, you know where you're going or you don't. And I know I'm going to heaven. But the point is, you know, I'm still a human being. And so I knew I was by myself. And so I knew laying in that bed, I had to flip the script quick, because I'm telling you, man, I think quick, and I was going deep down in a hole. And so I flipped the script and I thought, well, Lord, I can't die. I mean, not that it's my choice, but you know, I was like, God, just give me some time. You know what I mean? And he did. And so I first thought of my girls, and I got really jacked up and emotional, because truly we do have five beautiful girls, and it really brought me closer to them. In honestly a way I've never felt before, in the last year, and especially after this diagnosis. Because I'll be honest with you, we have a blended family, and I don't think, if I'm going to evaluate myself honestly and look in the mirror, I don't think necessarily the whole 10 years of my marriage I was that great of a stepdad per se. I rate myself a 4 out of 1 to 10. I know, why are you rating yourself? Well, that's what I do. But through this, I feel like my girl over there sitting down, I mean, she's so open. I can talk to her. I feel about anything. My shorty here, that's this one. It's really, I feel like it's given me the opportunity to really show my true heart. Do you know what I mean? Instead of other things. So that was the one thing. Then my next thought was, okay, Lord, I really want to live, because I really want to live for this lady right here, who I probably went into detail a little too much, but we're so opposite. It's kind of annoying. I'm just telling the truth. It can be a little crazy, but we met online through christianmingle.com. On our first date, we met halfway in Indiana, Elkhart, Indiana, because she's from here and I'm from Chicago. And do you want to tell this part? And she, I don't know, last church service, Ryan was sitting up there, and I used his outfit to compare to the outfit I was wearing that night when I first met her, which was super rude. So Ryan, I apologize again. But she did not want to go on a second date because of my outfit. I'm not joking. And I'm like, oh, wow, what about the personality? Well, I don't know how good that was either, honestly. But yeah, she told me ever since then, man, I almost had to turn you down because your pants had like little, anyway, but you know, that's a good memory for me. And then like, I asked her to marry me, and I felt God was like really in control of that situation, because I'll be honest with you. I prayed for a while, Lord, show me that one person who's committed to God and bring it out in so many multiple ways. And sure enough, then she shows up. And so I asked her to marry me. And what'd you say?
No.
She straight up said no. I guess it was too soon, apparently.
And no ring.
Yeah, I didn't have a ring. I didn't. She thought I was joking. I'm kind of being serious. And I didn't have a ring and all that jazz. So I guess you got to get a ring. But I don't know. I'm the type of person, if I get rejected, I'll just push the envelope more. And yeah, borderline stalker. No, I'm just kidding. So I knew I would miss her to death too. And like, you do think about those things, and you think you're going to be super strong, but in the moments you're actually in it, you know, you got to realize where your weaknesses are and where you go to God, period. You know, I've realized there's a piece of tape here. You're either all the way into God or you're not. There is no this. There's no lukewarm, right? And see, my whole life, I've been kind of lukewarm. And I'm telling you, man, that's not cool. You know, you really got to be all in, because you can't serve two masters. Period, the end. So that, you know, all these things were going through me. Anyways, then they told me I had lung cancer, like I said, 90% chance, but I didn't. Praise God, because for a week and a half, I was so tripping about it. I was like, in my head, I was like, oh man, I was doubting, you know, I wasn't trusting God like I should have been. God gave me my answer, which was huge. So I praise the Lord for that. And let me finish up real quick. All I wanted was a chance to fight this. That's all I really asked for God. I'm serious. I was like, just give me a chance. And God's giving me a total chance. So as you can see, the mass is still there. It's cancer. It's head and neck cancer. But at the same time, I'll start chemotherapy and radiation in Columbus actually this week. I'll probably live down there off and on for 8 weeks. And I did, by the way, I didn't mention this last service. I was going to have major surgery right away, and I'm so glad I didn't. I got a second opinion at the James Cancer Research Center, and that's the route I feel God's leading me. Then I started going to this men's group here, and I got to mention this real quick. Incredible group of men that go here. It's really changed me, you know, because when I first started going there, in fact, probably the reason I didn't go there for so long was I just thought it might be like a soft little group. Like, not to be rude, but like a lot of men don't open up. Wow. Wrong. I was wrong on so many levels. I made like 14 new friends right away. It was deep. It was deep straight up off the bat. And it made me comfortable, you know what I'm saying? Because I could talk about anything. And it just really has enhanced my life for the better. I mean, ask Lori. I come home from that every Thursday night. I'd be like, this is so cool, man. This is what we talked about. Blah, 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 blah. Yeah, sorry, guys. You might know a little bit about now. But no, overall, it's just been a blessing. And I think that's about it. I also want to mention our pastor, man, because the reason I've stayed in this church so long is a huge influence is from him, because he does not play. He don't play, and I need someone that don't play. You know what I mean? I like a pastor who is straightforward. I like a pastor who does not curve in to the society opinions. Keep it straight, man. Don't play. I mean, we know what sin is, and we know what sin's not. So I like that. I like his wife because she jokes around me. She can actually handle my joking, which is really rare. She's probably better at it than I am. So everything's cool that way. And again, my parents who are sitting in the back right now. Yeah, there are no words. You're right. Because they've raised me the right way. And it's stuck. You know what I'm saying? And they've been a huge influence in my life, probably more than they even realize. So I want to thank that for them too. I appreciate that. So keep me in your prayers, and we'll go from there. Thank you.
Thank you, Brian and Lori and Addison. You know, he mentioned he got into a men's group. We're going to really be promoting life groups. We call them life groups here. And that's where you get into a group and you go, you know, maybe every other week, and you get into a group and you begin to grow, because you connect with people on a level you never really connect with, and then you open up, and it talks about in James 5, if you confess your faults one to another, you will be healed. Yes. Healing takes place in those groups. We're going to really be promoting these in the next year, because they are really. I mean, you can't just grow coming to church. You gotta get with people. And you can only connect here on Sunday for a short period. You need to connect with people. Maybe they're checking on you in the week, and you know, in ways that you can only do in a small group. So it's important. And we're going to really be promoting that next year, starting in January. All right. We are going to look at, we've been talking about living out of the kingdom. And it's in you. Jesus said the kingdom is not over there or here, but it's in you. So talks about in Romans 14:17, the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. So we're going to go right to the gospel of John after we read our vision. Luke chapter 2. After we read the vision. So if you'd all stand to build a people who are established in God's word, advancing his kingdom, a body of believers endeavoring to keep the unity of the spirit in the bond of peace. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you: you will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. All right. That's the Christmas story. That's the story I read to my family every year, raising my children, before we opened our gifts. And my son still does it, and daughter. So that's significant. That's important. You know what I mean? Because you got to know where the gift comes from, right?
That's right.
Comes from God. Every gift, right? Yeah. Every good and perfect gift comes from above.
Amen.
Amen? All right. So we're going to be seated. And we're going to talk about, last week we talked about godliness with contentment is great gain. Did you notice it says in verse 11 there? Give me verse 10, I'm sorry. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of what? Great joy." Great joy. So think about that. Great gain. Godliness with contentment is great gain. So this great is in his kingdom. You see that? So he says great joy. Now, no other religion uses the word joy like Christianity. Are you listening to me? None. None of them. I think that's significant. I believe it's 218 times the word joy is used in 66 books of the Bible. So God wants us to get that message of joy. And so we've been talking about how important it is that we understand this joy. And it's great joy. Everybody say great.
Great.
Increase. Remember Isaiah 9:6 or 6:9? Unto us a son is unto us a child has been born, a son has been given. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. So there's increase taking place. That was the first, after the first coming of the Lord. Now there's an increase of it coming in his people as we anticipate the second coming of the Lord. You see that? So we're going to look at this. This is huge. I'm going to tell you something. There's something about joy that we have. It's supernatural. And you heard him talk about the group he got involved in is Ricky Paulus's group. And I went to the hospital when Ricky Paulus had a tumor on his brain. And they sawed into his skull and opened it up and went in and removed the tumor. I was there before he went in. I got down there early, and it was amazing. Just his attitude. The joy he had. The nurses were talking about him. It was amazing. Going in to get your head sawed into. I mean, but Ricky had joy. His dad was there. His dad kept, "Boy, I just don't understand how he's doing this." And you know, I mean, I think he did, but it was a time where, you know, you've heard of everything, but now when you see it, it's like, wow, this is something. You know, it's amazing. When I had my bottom lip cut off, I had it cut off right in the room after I had it cut off. I looked over at Donita, she was crying, weeping. She said my lip looked like a night crawler on a pan. And the Holy Spirit came in me and quickened me, and I had joy. We went out in the car and we began to sing and rejoice. You know, me with no lip. And then I came up with this thing. You know, he says, "My lips will forever praise you." I said, I can't say that anymore. I have to say my lip. I did that right after. I said, I only got one lip now, but I'm still going to give you praise. Am I talking about it? We had joy. Supernatural. Unspeakable, it talks about. We talk about unspeakable joy that comes when you need it the most. It comes when you're going through something. In First Peter, it talks about unspeakable joy. Unspeakable joy. You can't even explain it. And that's the way it is. Like understanding that passes all understanding. Like peace that passes all understanding. You can't explain it. It's this kingdom. Now, it comes with Jesus. You see that? When you get saved, it's only for people who are born again, who are saved. Now look at this. It gives you strength. Gives you strength when you need it the most. Folks, we all need some strength at times. We all need some strength at times. And, it's amazing how he just shows up in a time when a lot of times you see people falling apart like a $2 suitcase. You know, you don't want to. But as Christians, we don't do that. We have strength. And the joy of the Lord is our strength, it says in Nehemiah 8:10. The joy of the Lord is our strength. You see, when you don't have strength and you're weak, it's because you're not tapping into this joy God has given you. When you tap into that and get in God's presence, you see, when you get in God's presence, it's the fullness of joy. That's why you got to be in a church. You got to make sure you're plugged in the body of Christ somewhere. Wednesday night we got here. I came in the building. I could feel God's presence strong. You know, I could feel it. And and we got in there and we were singing. And while I was up there preaching, I could feel it. And teaching, I wasn't even praying. I was just teaching. I could feel God's presence. And then we got together at the end of the service and we got in a big circle. We prayed for this guy that was going through something. And I'm telling you what, I could feel God's presence while we were praying. I mean, it was so strong. And the Bible says, in his presence is the fullness of joy. You see, when you get in the house of God and you get with his people, the fullness of joy comes up. When you're full of joy, there's no room for anything else. It's the fullness of joy rises up in you. And I'm going to tell you what, I got a phone call the next morning, and that guy was taken care of. Are you listening to me? I believe with all my heart it was those prayers that went up for him. Are you listening to me? Are you listening to me? The fullness of joy. When we get in his presence, that's the house of God. This is the house of God. We talked about the house of God in 2 Timothy is the church, the pillar and ground of the truth. The house of God, he's talking about the people of God. The word house is the word family. He's talking about each of us, the church. We're the church, not this building. We're the church. We're the house of God. When we come here, stuff has came off of some of you already today because you decided to get to the house of God. It's because the presence is here. There's a presence in the house of God. There's a presence in him. Are you listening to me? And it's manifest presence when you get in the house of God. Am I making sense?
Only the truth and truthfulness can save us now. Only the truth and truthfulness can save us.
You've been listening to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church. We are located at 340 West Russell Road in Sydney, Ohio. Our service time is Sunday mornings at 9 and 11 a.m. If we can be of help to you, you may contact us at 937-492-6412 or visit us on the web at russellroadchurch.com or Facebook by searching Russell Road Church, Sydney. We end today's broadcast with these words from the Apostle Paul taken from 2 Corinthians 13:11. Be complete. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you. Have a blessed week.